Hey, greetings, everybody. Tonight is the 9th day of June, 2022, so I have been told. And I'm here tonight to do an equity roundtable with my brothers and friends and sisters and who shows up that'd like to speak on the subject. And we're going to do so in a roundtable type of discussion. We've done this before, where we all enter in and participate. This is a House of Prayer call. I just want to set the jurisdiction, for he that preserves not his jurisdiction won't have any. So a matter is confounded if a man preserves not his own jurisdiction. So this is the ecclesiastical jurisdiction where private men, as men following God, get to discuss our lawful remedy and relief and things that have helped us along our way and our journey. We are patterned under the House of Prayer that was established many thousands of years ago. In fact, it's the name of our Father's house, according to the one called Jesus in the New Testament of the Scriptures. We adhere to a very arduous task of Isaiah 58:6, to loose the band of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. And, of course, we start with ourselves. Like it was said in a very strenuous situation one time, physician, heal thyself. So some noise in the background there if you want to mute out. Someone's swallowing your microphone or whatever. Tonight, I just want to remind you of a couple of equitable principles as we dive into a conversation about equity. And that's the one that states that equity delights to do justice, but not by halves. And when we're talking halves, I want you to know that I'm going to go ahead and mute you out here, the ones that's making the noise that I got on here. I'll put you back in. Anyway, when we're talking about halves, I like to look at two sides of the story. You know, I've got my side, and if I'm the only side that's being heard, then it'll look one way. Like it says in Proverbs 18:13, he that answers a matter before he hears it, it is a folly and shame unto him. So we don't misplace things. I want to show both sides of the story tonight. And just give you sort of my understanding of the math that goes along to this conversation in equity tonight. And then there's other conversations. It doesn't have to stick on my agenda. I know that we got a full house here tonight with people that have stories and have real lives and have real things that are happening and real things that they're excited about sharing. So we'll allow that as well in this ecclesiastical forum. But tonight I wanted just to touch on the subject of equity, and it's a conversation that people that charge lots of money use in their sentences to mystify people because its use is mystifying and it's not currently used in any kind of way that you can sink your teeth into it and understand it. And then there's books with thousands of pages by Pomeroy and Gibson and writings on those books and bills, and anyway, there's just a lot of topics when we hear equity and a lot of research that people invested many, 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 many hours on and still don't necessarily get to see any kind of relief, a lot spoken of, very little realized. So what I did in order to endeavor to get on this path, so I didn't hear just one side of the story, which was my side, and what's my side? Well, I'm on the side with you, you know. I mean, it's the one that would like to point the finger outward at all of them, those criminals and these criminal enterprise systems and a lot of that name-throwing when there's a finger pointed in one direction, there's three pointing back, so it's been said. One pointing out, three pointing in, that's not very good odds. But so this is so that we can look at ourselves and examine ourselves and not to be doing equity by halves. I want us to look at ourselves when we talk about this subject. So I'm going to lay out a premise mathematically here to do that, to start us off. I just am doing this to get the juices, just to get the juices flowing. Can you all hear me just fine? Is anybody having a problem hearing me? I got no comments, so I guess that's okay.
Now, I can hear you.
Okay, so the what we're doing is I'm going to lay down an equation, a mathematical equation. What we've been doing while we study is we've been assigning values to concepts.
When we assign a value to something, it needs to be constant. Otherwise, it doesn't have a value. It's just an X in a mathematical equation. It could be anything you want it to be. And whereas many people would say that that's the way it is, I'd rather suppose that it has a constant before I just resort to saying it's all despotism, there's no hope at all, we ought to just go back to dueling in the streets, which many people think that that's the answer. So before we go to that, which means that there are no constants and there's nothing that has definite value, let me throw this out to you and see if we can consider it, whether or not it's so. So here is the premise. I'm going to build an equation with you, and it's filled with equal signs. So mathematically, it will look like 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, or 1 equals 1 equals 1 equals 1 equals 1, excuse me, not 1 plus. 1 equals 1 equals 1 equals 1. That is an equation you can continue writing on a chalkboard all the way till you from the top left to the bottom right, and it would be an equation that works. Everyone understands that in the mind. So what I'm going to say here today is I'm going to put the assigned value of something that equals something that equals something, and it's all going to be the same. It's going to be like synonymous definitions. And this is what I'd like you to go as a brain exercise with me and see if anything sticks out to you that's not like the other. Now, I warn you, I didn't stick a fake in here. These are all, I believe this is an exact perfect equation. Now, someday I can put a decoy in there and see if anybody catches it. But right now, for the sake of this conversation tonight, these phrases or terms I'm going to give you or concepts are equivalent to each other. And here it goes. All names on public documents in court cases or otherwise in the public are. Okay, that is the defined value I'm going to give to everything that is to follow. The defined value is if it is a name on a public document in a court case or otherwise a public document, all names are. Let's go through this. The names themselves, keep in mind we're talking about what you see on flat land on a piece of paper presently, currently, and I should qualify, currently, presently, right now in the public. I'm not going to go back to the scriptures. It's not a public document per se. Although I have heard the maxim that the cause of Christ is a public cause, that is because it extinguishes sin and debt. So it comes in to provide reconciliation back to God. But for our purposes, all names on current, present, today, public documents, in court cases or otherwise in the public are, here we go, round them up. A sinner, bankrupt, insolvent, securitized or able to be securitized, indentured servants, wards, titles, public entities, property of the United States, at parity with each and every other name on that court document or otherwise public document. Now, I should have said that up front. I should have said that in the very beginning. I'm going to go ahead and mute you out so you don't have to do it later. I should have said that up on the beginning because that really could go at the front of the list, at parity with each and every other name. But I would put a star in that in your mind because that's a huge concept that makes a difference to what I'm saying. A clerk of court couldn't say, you know, my cat Tabby versus the mayor of the city you live in. A court clerk would be fired from entering a court case like that because they don't have legal personality and they're not at parity with each other. The example is extreme to get you to have a picture that only like parties to each other are able to sue each other, like parties. So at parity with each other, I'm going to continue the list. subject to the United States. Citizens post-1933 without equity. Civilly dead entities. Fictions of law. They are part of the outer court of the temple requiring sacrifices, i.e. fines, fees, penalties, and forfeitures. They are debtors located in the District of Columbia. For those spiritual that have read your Bible, they are Achan's idol. They're the evidence of sin and debt. They're barred from equity. They're a corpse and unclean. In the sweet and bitter water analogy, again a biblical reference, they are the bitter water. They are public business. They are licensed to sin. Many of you may know what I'm talking about. A good example is that a marriage license, if you look it up in a Black's Law Dictionary, it'll tell you, see miscegenation. Miscegenation is the permission by license given to one race to marry another. In this case, was specifically in America, was the blacks to be married to the whites, the slave relationship, miscegenation. A marriage license was issued for people of different races to be able to be married. That is the origin. You can look it up in your Black. But for our purposes, not to get you confused, these are all synonyms. All that list, public business, license to sin. I'm going to continue. Confucio, trustees, sureties, dead in trespass and sin, post-1933 in character and capacity, are anathema because every decision, Supreme Court legislation post-1933, it's part of a resulting trust, whatever that is, under military emergency rule. Enemies of the United States, enemies combatants, they require attorneys or representation as actors, have no nationality, have no rights of political election, have no rights, only license and granted privileges, are trust property of that great club that you ain't a part of. They originate in equity law, which sees the party with the greatest beneficial interest, for example, the author or the grantor of the trust to which it is a party. And for those that you understand, the God created man, man created government, just like God created man, man is over to government what God is to man. And keeping in mind that God is the author and finisher of your faith, then Congress is the author and finisher of the person, which is that public name that went through the whole list I just gave you. It is subject to and under the doctrine, subject to and under the doctrine of parens patriae. Is a beneficiary of Social Security, as well as the Department of Corrections, eligible to vote in the post-1933 democracy, eligible for welfare, agents in agency, not established under the Constitution and laws of the United States prior to the military justice, Lieber Code, and or bankruptcy, barred from accessing any in-chambers secret equitable proceeding. It's never the grantor, settler, or beneficiaries to the rights inherent and unalienable, rather only those rights that are granted by Congress. Has no rights that belong to men pursuant to the First Estate, but rather only those that extend to persons through the 14th Amendment. And lastly, used by the usurpers of our freedom, or the slave masters, as a biblical excuse to mete out tyranny on the premise that the man or woman so using this civilly dead entity has breached the covenant with God and therefore deserves the penalties of following these false gods. I will just go ahead and shut up. That was my part. I got the ball rolling. Any comments, any questions, or is our call done? I'm going to mute. I'll mute anybody. I muted a few of you out. Crickets.
All right, that's a lot to swallow. What specific process do you have that would come against all their presumptions?
Well, what's interesting, I can comment, that was that directed to me because this was a roundtable discussion. Just want to qualify, was that directed to me, George? Okay, I'll just assume it is then. What I did tonight in this equity conversation is I just wanted to describe the 1 equals 1 equals 1 equals 1 and put it all together in a large picture and see if you could see with my eyes as we're attempting to get equity. What is equity? Equity is described as that which provides what the law couldn't provide and making the party whole. If I were to tell you that in every and any court case that you've ever been involved in, your interests were never on the docket, would you understand and comprehend what I was saying? If I was to say to you that all you did was put on the person that I just described and your interest that part that you want to be heard, you may have gotten some relief in that case. But the people that I know, especially those on this call, that operated under private notice, that public court case could even turn looking really, really, really bad for them in the public venue. But they never lost what belonged to man. The equity actually worked, even though the case in the public was devastating in the public realm. And they've got what would be described as equity, but they didn't get it in the outer court. That's where sacrifices are made. The outer court of the temples where they did all the sacrifices. That's where you get your fines and fees and penalties, and that's where they are squeezing you for whatever it is that that's required. 2 turtle doves, 3 pigeons, 10 Hail Marys, 2 Our Fathers, whatever. Same system, different concept. So the way out is to understand what room we're in when we're dealing with a flatland public document. So I laid a premise out there. I didn't say in this call, hey, I'm right and all you guys are wrong. Does anybody challenge anything I said there today and say that is wrong? This is a peaceful conversation. No one's going to bark at you for saying you disagree. I mean, I would genuinely like someone to tell me how I've been mistaken by what I said. It's been what's in front of our face all along anyway. How could it be that something that's bankrupt and is insolvent that could never make you whole, not now, not the way things are, could never indemnify you? How could it be that they could be at parity with you? If they could never make you whole in the event that whatever it is that they're doing is either found to be a mistake, mistaken identity, fraud, inapplicable, you are the exception to their statutes and codes or society as the case might be, can they ever make you whole? You're not at parity with them if they cannot. They are bankrupt, insolvent. If your name appears with them and you haven't separated from them, then it's got to be that you are the same and like kind with them. I'm just trying to do simple math here, folks. Other comments or questions? This might be a really short call.
How do you separate from them?
That's a great question. And one of the easiest ways to understand it is go take the piece of paper with your name on it and whatever it's court document, phone bill, electric company bill, whatever, and you got it in your hand, and then you walk over to mirror with that paper and then you. Now you are, if you're holding it in your right hand on the right side of your body, you're going to be the party on the left in the mirror. And that name on the paper is going to be the one on the right. That's the best way to understand and separate from you from it, is knowing who is who. And I'm sorry if that sounds like I'm being a smart aleck, but I'm not. We are absolutely not a party to that matter, in as I see it. It has nothing to do with us. Now, as an agent for any of that stuff that's going on in the public, there are certain privileges, immunities, beneficial interests allotted to you on your journey in the public that belong to persons as a beneficial interest, but it's not you that it belongs to. That's what the government giveth, the government taketh away. It's part of the public trust.
And then you have the mathematical way to solve it. You solve that question mathematically. And what you do is, when you have a mathematical problem and you have all the things that are the same, you mark out, they each cancel each other out. So when you mark out all the entities that are the same, it only leaves one, and that's you. So you're standalone. You're not included in the equation. I yield.
Love it, John. I told a buddy of mine the other day, he's not with us tonight, he went out. I said, you're getting all upset about a matter, you know, some kind of traffic matter. He wanted to go in there and you know, like we all do, we want to tell them how smart we are and how dumb they are. And I said to him, I won't mention his name, I said, the funny thing about it is none of this has ever been about you yet. You're not even a party to what's happening in there, and you're taking it all personally.
Yep.
Anyway, it's a way to look at it that is sure helping me comprehend that our remedy and relief is doomed in that system. It's like the energy is, it's like it's bankrupt. It's almost like it's bankrupt. It doesn't have any energy. It's almost like it has no flesh and blood.
Well, that's exactly it, isn't it, Daniel? That entity is bankrupt, that all of those entities that you added up there that are the same, the legally dead entities, they can't provide equity because there's no ownership. They're considered debtors, every one of them. And a debtor cannot have any, you know, there's no ownership if you're a debtor. If you're bankrupt, you don't own anything. You're insolvent, which is that system. You're not going to get, and in order to get equity, you have to, in order to have rights, you have to have ownership. Equity is ownership, just like if you look at a house, right? There's a mortgage on a house, $100,000, and you put $10,000 down, you have 10% equity in the house, right? Price of the market goes up, doubles, and now it's worth $200,000. You have 60% equity in the house, ownership interest. And it's simple if you look at it in that purview as to how a house equity works. And a lot of folks in foreclosure have gone and walked away from their equity and the bank took it. Even though you had a claim in equity, didn't bring your equitable claim, your ownership interest in the house, it's due you in those proceedings. And actually, it's a much stronger position. Most likely, you would have saved your home if you lost it. Because once equity is introduced into the equation, it can't go back to law. Again, as an owner, they can't fix you. They're bankrupt. They can't remedy your situation. They're bankrupt. They can't make you whole. So,
you know, David, just to go ahead and tack onto that, and this sort of will help. I think this might answer Linda's question to some degree as well. We were reading before about how equity acts on certain individuals, and there were three specific individuals in this equation that were listed as exceptions that were a really remarkable collection. And although there might be a joke or two in there, they were incompetence, lunatics, and the third one, which is going to blow your mind, was saints. There was an exception, an exclusion, as far as the participation in the public for incompetence, lunatics, and saints. How would a saint get in the list and be considered incompetent or lunatic as far as in the same category? What about a saint and an incompetent and a lunatic? Now, we're not talking about the goofy people that you can think of in the name of religion. I'm actually talking saint here. So when you begin to see that we're talking exceptions to the public, that and that's the exit plan, where no more can we be seen in the public or than the public can see us. We're ghosted, indivisible. We're saints. Sanctos, set apart. People talk about, I want my do not detain. I'm not happy with a do not detain, okay? I'm wanting a do not look at, do not speak to, leave him alone. He's not one of us. I don't want some kind of status that can be taken away. I desire the saint status, the thing that is literally doesn't belong in the public anymore. All accounts closed. All participations removed from the public debt registry. My property would be removed from property that's going to extinguish the wars that the debts were created in that name. My property that I'm going to be caring for is actually God's property. It doesn't belong to me. It's God's. It's not mine. And so that's the status that we are looking for at the end of the road here. In my opinion, if we're not, then, you know, all we're looking for is a quick fix, something to solve a small problem, you know, watch a beer, get a beer, watch a football game, rather, and life is good, you know, get fat and die. I mean, that's one way of doing it. Or we can realize that we're here for a purpose. And that purpose obviously has an adversary, and that adversary is very real. I think Book of Job says, man's born into adversity as the sparks fly upward. And we want to truly live our dream of freedom and realize it. And that's the reason why we resist tyranny. Super quiet out there.
Had us all captivated.
Equity roundtable. Oh, there's a question out there. Beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, for people who have studied law for a while, but not necessarily equity, how do we really get started in this? I mean, I understand the principles, but the actual process application to specific issues, I'm pretty much in the dark, and as well as I'm sure a lot of the people on this call.
Well, if I could answer humbly saying and truthfully saying that I am not the expert that would be able to answer that question sufficiently. But what I would say, I'm still going. But what I would say is that the first indenture of the scriptures gives you an understanding of equity as through many, many stories. And the New Testament shows you the grace that we have and the truth. And the endeavor that I've been looking at in my life is I'm going back and looking at all of my acts and all of my deeds and see what I have done and see if everything I said is true, go back and look at what part you were playing. Were you the unjust servant to the contract arrangement that you were acting under? You were acting in some person. What person did the system see you at the time you created that deed, at the time you put that document in? What were they seeing you as? Is it just what you said? Well, that doesn't seem to matter necessarily, because if they're going to drag you and bring you into the public, then obviously you have a public entity, and that hasn't been, your relationship hasn't been moved from the public into the private. Otherwise, how could they make an action? There obviously is someone, there's a registered agent home doing business as, utilizing the name of the public name, hasn't learned how to put it in private trust or do it otherwise. So we're going to start incrementally, I believe, examining ourselves and all those cases and times that we said, look how bad they treated me, look how evil they were. And we get to look at ourselves and be retrospective, if my list be true. So go ahead, David.
Well, I agree with everything you just said. Kind of a simple way, I know you're looking for some sort of a process or well, when you walk in the outer court or into the court of law, okay, they're like Daniel had said earlier, they're trying to get you to sacrifice for your sins against the state under contracts and or the public trust. And a good the place to start is trust, because the trust matters are equity law, trust law, and trust law is equity. But just to give you an example, a picture of how this process works from a biblical standpoint, you got the temple. The outer court is where the sacrifices were. It's where the common area where it was unclean, okay? And if you are going in to atone for your sins, which is going into the law side of the court to pay tribute or pay for sinning against Caesar, then that's where you're making your payments, in the outer court, okay? That's the law side under sin and death. The inner court is equity, grace. And the only way in the word to get into that court, you had to be a priest or a Levite. But now, okay, because of the blood that was shed on your behalf, the payment for all your sins or debts, your debts are cleared. You are bought with a price. Your subject matter of and re-brought into that trust, the everlasting covenant or irrevocable trust of the word. You're back in the garden, basically. You're covered, you're debtless, and you no longer have a debt to pay in that outer court. You're an owner, you're an heir, you have equity. Remember, equity equals ownership. You cannot be an owner and be in the law side of the court, because you can't get equity in the law side of the court, because there is none. It's bankrupt. It's all debt or death, however you want to, you know, define it. So in order to get into that equity, you have to be an owner. You have to be an heir. You have to be a priest. And then getting in there, the only way is by the blood. So when we look at, you know, acting as a body together for remedy, to get our equitable relief as a body, as the body, you can walk right through that law court into equity. And you have evidence, literally, within the indenture.
So equity follows the law. That's one of the maxims of equity. And then you ask, what law? So if it's statutory law, you're going to get statutory equity. Okay? So when you're looking at for a, you know, for an equitable solution, do you want some imperfect equity, which is all you can get in statutory debt land, flat land, fiction world? Or do you want true equity, something of value, right? The only way you can make a true debt can be paid is if it's paid with equal value, bring you back to where you were prior to your loss. So in order to get that, you'd move into trust law, or in this in their system, constitutional law, right? The land. So you get out of equity, or you get out of the law, which is the water, right? That court, you can move it into land law or trust law, which is in equity. That's why when you bring up trusts in these courts, you go, oh, no, this is a trust matter. How is it a trust matter? Well, I'm the subject matter of another res. I'm not a resident. I don't identify as res of the state. I was bought with a price, and I am owned by someone else. Someone has equity claim over me. Here's the evidence. Move it in. You're moving in. You want biblical equity. You want perfect equity. So you got to follow the perfect law. You got to, your choice of law has to be that perfect law in order to get equity from that law. So law, equity follows the law. So if you're going under statute, you're going to get statutory equity. Not much. You're going to get some promissory notes, maybe. Or trust law, you're going to get equity, the same as you would. If you've studied trust law at all, you're going to get equity. It's about fairness. It's about what's right. Usually it's about what the will of the grantor was. So you can get equity there in the court. Under the Constitution, right? What do the grantors of the Constitution want, right? How's that work? So you're going based on the law of the land there. And why I'm talking about Constitution, because it's not my forte. Well, it's not that it's not my forte. I just don't believe in that document myself. But that being put aside, I prefer to follow God's law, which is what I'm indentured to. Real simple to get into an equitable situation here, and it also provides you with a subject matter jurisdiction challenge in any court of law. Because if you're the subject matter of God's trust, you're the res of God's trust, you're owned by someone other than the state of whatever state that's coming after you. So I'm going to leave it at that. Hopefully that helped.
So specifically,
well, I'm going to try. Go ahead. Who is that?
Yeah. So specifically, how do you make your claim in equity if you're already brought into a court situation?
All right. I want to touch that with not a do A B C D E, but here conceptually. When we are playing in, as I spoke, I think I shared this on David's call, and I haven't shared it on this call, I don't believe. If I'm mistaken, y'all let me know, but I was talking about Hollins versus Edmonds. Was that your call, David? I'm getting my calls mixed up.
I'm not sure.
Well, it was the case in Kentucky where the Supreme Court, and that was Kentucky Supreme Court. I'll look it up and when I'm done here. But you're either in the you're in the court either by right, by license, or you're in there as a trespasser, someone who's committing a trespass. So if you're in court by right, and what we're talking about is everything that in that whole list that I read you above, If we're in court, in the public, on the public docket, in as the public entity, animating that public fiction at parity with the other parties on the document, and you're there by right, that means you are societal, at parity with all the other under the e pluribus unum, and there's equality of the law. There's no conflict of law because all the parties are at parity. Otherwise, there would have been a conflict of law presented. And we'll have two issues here. We have the equitable rights of man and natural persons, and we have just depending on which door we go in. And then we've got of all other persons. And I was reading the 14th Amendment, again, the Congressional Globe at the time, just before the 14th Amendment was so-called ratified. And I was reading in that Congressional Globe, and it was the language that they were using, the people and their persons. There wasn't any issue with the language, and it wasn't as muddied what we call sophistry as we have today, where these word magic, words of art. And so you're either there by right, which is societal right. You're there at parity with all the others. You're there by license. You're either an attorney or you're a public officer, someone who's taken an oath. But once again, you're there at parity with all other, because everything there is bankrupt. Or you're there by trespass. And that's an interesting place because we've read some of that on this call where we're talking about all of the other things that people are doing that are creating this war zone on the public documents that they're putting in. They're at war, and they're interesting that they're at war with a bunch of criminals that are on the war side of the matter, because there are criminals in there that have murdered in the name of the dollar bill. Those are the criminals I'm talking about. Those are the trespasses against the laws of God I'm referring to. The warring ways of the unjust. So let's look at if we win. You know, it says, well, what if I win and I got my case dismissed? I mean, that's not such a bad thing, is it? I won my case. I got them to turn it around. Well, I started thinking about that there's really never, ever a win in the public. The wins are all losses, and here's why. Either you won and the expense was your time. It took you 5 years to win, took you 3 years to win. Even if it took you 3 hours to win, you had to take your time away from whatever else that you were doing, which would have been life or God's kingdom, and you had to go play in hell, in jail. You had to go and be in the chains of darkness with people that wore black dresses and things of that nature. You had to be there with those that were committing the sin of necromancy, speaking to the dead. So even if you did win in the outer court, there are still sacrifices that were performed. People have heard about the CUSIP number and all of that. What were they doing? Even if you did win and got a dismissal, what about the bond? Didn't that bond enslave future people by the taxation? Who's going to pay for that? They're bankrupt. They just passed the debt on to future generations. Wow, well, won $90 million. Well, who's going to pay for it? Future generations. Really, all wins at this level can actually be considered losses if we're allowing ourselves to be honest, if the list I gave you is true. So how do we do this? How do we affect some remedy? Well, number one, we have to understand the realm of the private, I think. My first suggestion would be all of us, like I am, is studying what it means to be in the private. People are in the private. That's the holy place. That's the private in chambers. You know, for example, if you are able to invoke and get the understanding that you're not a party to the action and get in the private in chamber side, under, say, some trust law, say the Constitution that was a trust document, you could access private equity even at that level there. Or, because trust law opens the door to private equity. Otherwise, you know, you could go to the arraignment which is actually just another way of saying the arrangement, where you get arranged to play the proper parts. Hey, everybody, surety, is a surety out there? Is a surety, 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 surety? Oh, we've got a surety there. The auctioneer up there making sure that someone steps into that suit and plays that debtor role in that public proceeding. So you could go through the Holy of Holies, and that's the saint thing I was talking about earlier, and you go to the most holy place. That's where saints belong. And that's the third chamber that we described. So I think the big part of tonight's call is that there's an interesting thing that we all conceptualize, that there's one thing that we could all do, and we're going to be like, you know, Moses parted the Dead Sea, you know, the Red Sea, rather, and we all walked on dry ground. Well, we're looking for someone to part the Red Sea and just give us a special 1, 2, 3 so we can all walk. And I don't know if it's that way. It's your journey. It's what you've got in your life right now that's entirely different than what's in my life right now. So you've been given an equation right now, and it's just this big ball of facts all jumbled together, and you've got to set your house in order and bring all things back to the reconciling to God. That's your job. Or you can just forget about it all and drink that beer and go watch that, you know, football game.
I'd like to try to say something. if I can keep my thoughts together. I started out this process experimenting because I didn't have any cases against me, and I started working with the Bible. And it's been slow because I had to define the words, and in the process I had to look up words in the dictionaries, and I chose the 1755 Samuel Johnson dictionary because it has words like Kirk in it, which is another way to spell Kirk. because C-H-U-R-C-H and K-I-R-K are spelled differently, but they sound the same. I don't know if any of you get that, but it's part of the Sing, Spell, Read, and Write program, but I learned that I-R, U-R, and E-R are used in English, and they sound the same. So that's why Kirk can be spelled C-H-U-R-C-H and sound exactly the same as K-R-R-K. Anyway, that's kind of a segue, but I learned that we don't have to put in a court case, that we can, we can
do it privately.
Well, it's not even, how you do it privately is you just ask three questions.
Yeah, it's abatement. We're going there next, Linda. So I'm glad you segued into that, because is that the word you're looking for?
Yes, thank you. And the
no
abatement
problem.
I found in Genesis, and it's hidden. But through prayer, I was able to come upon it, and it's in the story of Noah, which is, I think, either Genesis chapter 8, I think. It's in one of the early chapters of Genesis, and he was sending doves. I mean, he started sending ravens, and then he sent three doves, and that was what he used to abate the floodwaters with.
Beautiful. So, and a great great allegory. Beautiful.
And so I tried the abatement, the lawful abatement, not any of the legal person abatement, but the lawful abatement, and I've successfully done away with two court cases because they simply cannot answer the questions. The three questions, and all I do is come up with three more questions, and just what the clerk told me is the abatement is suspended out of time. And I remember that because she said this it's suspended out of time. That means it's not in their time. And ever since, I have been gradually doing things as the scripture says. And I put in the Lord's Prayer, and after, it's just exactly as the Lord's Prayer says. And Jesus said, you know, you do it like this. That means it can be customized. As long as we begin it and end it the same way. And so I tried it at Walmart, at Fry's Food and Drug, and at Safeway. And I just wrote in a simple letter and I put in a Lord's Prayer. And I've been going to Walmart and occasionally Fry's for a little over 6 months now. And I just put the groceries and anything that I choose to get in the food basket and walk out.
What?
Well, I sent three. No one. But
so
I
leave
everything.
Questions? What are the three questions in the abatement?
Well, I'm sorry to say that I don't remember what the three questions in the abatement were, but they were, it's something you have to research for yourself. But I just put it into the office of the clerk of court, to the office of county attorney, and to the office of presiding judge. So each one of them would have it.
You know, that's an interesting, I want to comment on that last question. And I do appreciate the question because I've been someone who's been a form-minded man in the past and still presently struggle with that. Oh, what did you say? What did you say? And to a degree, we want to know, and we wish to think it'd be just as simple as repeating the three things you said. But what's really interesting is the three things that you said were the equation to lock the door, unlock the door to equity, to the people that you were speaking to in the moment, in the time. And if we try to reproduce that, number one, it's not our own. We have no creative energy in it. It is already a fiction because it's somebody else's. It didn't come from your individual walk. It wasn't, you were not the author of it. So, you know, you think about it. What are three questions? I think if you have that list in this recording, did I press record when it started this? Because if I didn't, we lost all that, and it's going to be a private equity call. But anyway, it's very possible I didn't press record. And it's okay, because this is a private call. I've actually thought about that earlier, for those of you who don't know.
that this is a private equity call. And one of the things that I was going to bring about that when I actually made a forethought to not press record was that we can practice getting our lives out of the public. You know, we can start to practice removing ourselves from public forums. I'm going to try to find a way to have a private encrypted House of Prayer call when I'm going to move it from this venue here, which is not private at all. And the reason we do this, of course, is to develop habits to comprehend our privacies. Can I not be heard again? I'm talking directly to my microphone.
Now you can.
I don't get it. I just said this was a private equity call, and I'm moving towards. I found a phone that is a de-Googled phone that still is a smartphone, so you can still access, and you can turn off the SIM card. And it's de-Google, so you will not be in the public venue. And that certainly demonstrates certain societal notice. And they're very quickly going to be using that, I believe, by watching the way the military justice is being meted out against the sinners. That's really interesting I say that, because there's so many energies at play. It's not just one thing. But let's say you look at the three city-states that control, you know, you guys might have heard me talk about in my past, I attempted to communicate with the Vatican, the Crown, and the United States on relation to the title that I wanted to surrender back to Caesar. And you might have heard me talking in the time past about that. And it was a forgiveness of their obligation to me, to be a trustee, to govern me, and all of that. But
go ahead.
No, it's all right, Linda. I mean, this is an open table. Let me finish my thought, and you can go back to the forgiveness. That one that I had done in the light that I had at that time was my forgiveness of them with their duty and a trust to handle me as their ward, as a guardian over me as their ward. And I was forgiven them their obligation. And it was a lot of other things I communicated in that. But if you just were to look at those three city-states and the way that this overlay is working, there's Vatican interests under the canon law that the courts are running under, and their obvious connection with the priests with the same black robes as sitting in those places administering, certainly many connections at the vibrational level, if nothing else. But I suggest, and many others have suggested, so much more. So, but just not that. The interest of the one that was, there's still a treaty in there, the Treaty of Peace, and we still have this Great Britain, London, the City of London influence over titles and affairs, and we have the United States that we still have there. They all have, whatever we're playing with when we use that public name is connected to all of those interests and more. So keeping in mind that little old you, that's that particular playing piece doesn't have your interest in mind. You're just the debtor. You're just the user. You're just, you know, you're getting your interest from it. We can shake you up and down, upside down for whatever we need to make the public trust go through. So an abatement can be very, very simple. All you have to do is look at the equation. And then do it, and my opinion, Linda, is that you abate that. It's not Linda's special three questions. It is your special three questions that puts an end to your part in their play. That's my opinion. Go ahead, Linda. I think you interrupted me as I was interrupting you.
Well, that keeps it out of their courts. And the party did try to get in touch with me by sending the name a package or something, but I never accepted it because I had already stopped using the name at the post office. And I found later that the post office is very important because it has its, it's not just the United States Postal, it's not set up just for the United States. It goes clear into Germany?
Hey.
Or Switzerland? Anyway, it's international now.
Switzerland.
And so when the sheriff came and I had written this letter to the office of postmaster letting him know of a certain situation, I gave the copy of the letter to the sheriff, and he put up his notebook, he put up his pen, and he said, "I believe we have an understanding." And I said, "We do have an understanding," and he gave a little small grin and he just drove off. But it's not the power of the president that is, because the power of the president is just over the corporate power. And the power of the post office is the one who has power in that system. But, I wished I could explain this better. And going on to the matter of forgiveness is a financial term. You look it up under forgive, and it says in Samuel Johnson's dictionary out of England or Great Britain or whatever they call that place over there. Let me get it really quick. Okay. To forgive is to pardon a person, not to punish. So when we leave the debt unforgiven by paying with another debt, form of debt, we commit sin. And so when we forgive or pardon the debtors, you know, it says in the Lord's Prayer to forgive us our debts as we forgive those who,
indebted to us.
Yes. Then we're closing that entire document and leaving. We're not creating anything. We're closing it. And we're leaving everything paid for. Like Jesus said, you know, he paid for everything. That means he pardoned everything. And we should do the same. So when I made those three and sent those three Lord's Prayers to Walmart and Fry's and then Safeway, I cleared the debt, but I did not get anything in return. I didn't receive anything from them, except when I actually went in and tried this and carried my records that I'm supposed to with me. I just walked out and everything was okay. And I went past four checkers and everything was okay. And I've gone past checkers now every time, and I just leave things in my grocery cart and I take them out. Because the debt that they would have accrued with the cash register, just never happened, because that debt is really not there anymore, because it's all been pardoned. If you look up in those dictionaries, for instance, Samuel Johnson has, to forgive is to pardon a person, not to punish. So when the cash register sends, or the debt is understood, and you go to a register, you're just applying more debt. Number two is to pardon a crime. Number three, to remit, not to exact debt or penalty. So I've pardoned it, and so I don't exact a debt or penalty from the beginning. Now, Noah Webster's dictionary, an American Dictionary of the English Language in 1825, to pardon, to remit as an offense or debt. To overlook an offense and treat the offender as not guilty. So when we forgive debts, we're treating the one who has given us a debt as not guilty.
It also fulfills the law of loving your neighbor.
Yes.
And forgiving their debts and being forgiven. And love covers a multitude of debts or sins. So this is 100% equity that you're talking about, Linda. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I have actually done it. As meek and humble as I am, and been terrified, I've put aside the money that I had, and just went and did this.
That's claiming your equity.
Yes. And I've never had anything said about it. I've never... It's just really amazing to me. But anyway, it just quiets everything. And I am sure they are very aware of who they're dealing with. Even if I don't know, they seem to know a little bit more than I do from that side of things, because I don't know anything about that side of things. I don't know anything about their legal fiction world.
So I was recording it. For those of you that felt bummed, I guess I had pressed the record button. And we were having a recorded session. So anybody that has anything that they don't want to say, do know that it is being recorded. And we will do our very best to keep this just amongst those that ask for it. I'm not going to put this up on the web page. And there's a reason for that. I'm trying to get you all to comprehend where my head is and heart is going with the House of Prayer. I want to remove it from a place which has any appearance to be associated with those that are warring with the United States. I don't wish to be included with those that are engaging in the current narrative and becoming parties, pre-programmed parties to a play that's playing out in theater. And so the only way I'm knowing to do that at this time is to go inward a little bit deeper into the world of the encrypted, into a little more invisibility, so that as we start to speak of deeper things, because as I will tell you, I want to give a testimony, there have been some things that have been opened up to David and I here recently to say that this gets much deeper. Can you just say amen to that, David, so you let them know that we're on the same page? Did I lose you? David?
Well, we're on the same page.
Yeah, I can't hear you. I'm sorry, I was on mute.
Oh. Yeah, no, I said that we've had some things be opened up here in the most recent days that shows that we have reason to plod forward with a lot more determination than we've ever had on these issues. And I said, isn't that correct, David? I was looking for your input.
Yes, it is correct.
Thank you. So people, we've had some really, really very cool doors open up that we're exploring that are going to be closing the loop that Linda's speaking of as she's doing on individual accounts. But we're also talking about, Linda, so you should know, to do them at all levels. So it's one of the reasons I want to keep this private, because, you know, there's a couple ways you can construe things. If we go about trying to close all of the accounts of all of these parties that are agents for, you know, brothers of another mother, however you want to look at it, corporate benefits, it'd be like yelling fire in a crowded theater of sorts, creating some war. And we definitely want to be neutral. I was reading years ago, I don't know where I was reading it, in some international law manual, and I couldn't find it right now. I've tried looking in the past. But it was talking about during times of war that you could have a certificate to show that you're not a party to the war. And that certificate was nullified under international law if you had a weapon in one hand and the certificate in another. So you're either at war or you ain't is the scenario here. And if you have anything to resemble war in you, you're at war. So the end goal for all this for me is to go to peace, to not be at war, to not demonstrate, not to look like one of those. You know, they said, all persons of the United States are enemies of the United States. You know that trade is the enemy act. All persons of the United States are enemies of the United States. And I'm like, oh, really? Well, what's that thing that you use in commerce? Isn't that a person? What you're trying to tell me is you animated an enemy of the United States knowingly, willingly, intentionally, with full disclosure that it was an enemy of the United States and we used it? So I can see a very big reason to just inspire us to look deeper into our own sins when we're looking at how come all this stuff is happening all around us, and instead of pointing the finger at the man in the black dress, meeting out the judgment of the fines, fees, and penalties, the sacrifices for the sinners, realizing that we may be among those that need to repent and sin no more. And that's the message. I mean, that's what I was endeavoring to ask us to look into.
Equity requires clean hands.
So it's a big call. It's a really big call for me. I'm humbled, and I'll let everyone know, I'll be honest with you, I've actually so humbled and so deeply moved in my innermost being that I thought to, and I've even said it to three or four people, to go on a sabbatical and to close the House of Prayer Calls down for just a season as I just went inside. I've been so humbled by the simplicity of everything that was spoken on this call tonight. It was so simplistic to me, and to my mind it was easy. The equation made sense. The task wasn't simple, but the equation was.
Well, I think it's part of keeping things simple, and so simple that it staggers the brain.
Yeah, when I say simple, I just mean the heart. We are holding on to these things, these idols, these ways of doing things. This is going to require a renewing of our mind, Linda. That's what I meant by that. I mean, we might have easy steps that may look simple on paper, but having them outwork in our lives is a pruning, and it's going to be a changing. It's going to be a destruction of the old man, and the new man has to emerge in that new life. That the seed, the thing has to go into the ground and die before it can give forth life. And that whole process is, I'm not trying to overlook it and tell everybody, hey, it's just real simple. It's a real simple program. It hurts. I'll be honest with you. That's the pain that I've been feeling about wanting to go inward. And that's what I was trying to say. Just to clarify.
Yes.
Daniel, well, this is John.
John, go ahead. No, Linda, I'm sorry.
Okay. The interesting thing about it is the whole thing balances on a fairly simple concept, and the concept revolves around presumptions. So they presume one thing, we presume something else, and nobody really says anything, but they're the ones giving the orders, and they got the guns in the jails. Now, I see our way into equity, fairness, equality, and all that stuff is to deal with the presumptions. And when we deal with the presumptions, it stops them from making presumptions that are not to our benefit. So to me, and what I say, and about $3 might get you a cup of coffee, if you understand the presumptions, if you even know what they are, we might not even know what they are, but we have to, if we get involved with these robes and things, we have to bring it to their attention as to what our status and place and religion and things are in the world. We can't just say, when they call a name, we stand up and we take all the presumptions that they're carrying in their pocket that we don't know about. We have to give evidence of who we are, what our law is, what our position is, what our status is, and then they, at that time, have testimony or evidence that controverts their presumptions. And then that's when you get into fairness and equity and that kind of stuff. I yield.
Daniel?
All right, Lynn. I think Linda was just trying to finish up. Is that?
Yeah, I just wanted to read through this prayer that, and I'll just put what I have on my page, and that's centered at the top, Kingdom of Heaven, court of second line, court of record, third line prayer, and then I start the prayer: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, even on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And bread is used there just like it was used back in the 70s. You know, bread was describing everything. That's where I put, give us this day our daily bread from Walmart. And I put the name of the store that I have sent a copy of this to. And forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And that's the forgive us our debts is what's primary. But we are forgiving our debtors when we forgive, when we pardon the debt. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Because doesn't Jesus say to use his name? Well, that's where I've used it. And that's Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13 of the Bible and Holy Scriptures at Geneva, 1560. Well, I find that this is worded almost exactly as the Lord's Prayer in the King James Version. I think it's minus one word, and it, thy will be done, and in earth as it is in heaven in the King James Version. But the way I sign things is first line at the end of my document, in the name of Jesus Christ. Second line is this day, because they don't have calendar dates in the Bible. And we witness, and Father in Heaven witness. That means anybody that reads that document is a witness. Although that I mean the we. And that's all I put. Did that make sense? Hello?
No names? You don't put a name?
I know.
Just
put
Jesus.
A name.
You did put a name.
Yes. Well, doesn't the Bible basically say that the Lord, or the Heavenly Father, whispers a name in our ear when we get to a time appointed, because we would give it? And God gives us our name. We don't give ourselves a name.
And it's the name that only God knows. And that's because
yes.
With the same slave mentality, we would actually give it up and put it right back into bondage if we knew it.
Yes. But we also were promised that we can be a witness if we testify of the Father. And so that's one reason we become living, and because we are a witness, we can be a witness. We can't be a witness if we're testifying to the dead, because the living cannot testify.
The dead can't
That's
testify.
That's for the mean. Dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Chad, will you get ready to jump in there?
No, I wasn't.
No, this is KL.
Who was it? Oh, KL, there you are.
All right. Just a few helpful
greetings.
People dealing with court. If you're a defendant and you're trying to get into equity, you got to have the judge see a trust, or get them to recognize that there is a trust going on, like with a credit card, like with a foreclosure of a home. If you can see the trust, all trust disputes must be handled in equity. Now, in their, district courts, you're only going to get Roman equity, which is at least some equity. All right? If my suggestion is, most of the time, file a counterclaim as a plaintiff and put original jurisdiction on the face sheet. Why? Because a plaintiff gets to set jurisdiction. If you don't ask for original jurisdiction, guess what the default level is? General jurisdiction, which is the statutory Roman civil law jurisdiction. So, if you want that jurisdiction, you have to ask for it, okay? And then the other way, of course, is go to federal court, but, it's better to go to the circuit court, and the same thing. You have to ask for original jurisdiction on the face sheet, because if you don't put it on the face sheet, you can't go back and put it on later. You can't ask for it later. It has to be right away, and that's according to C.L. Bates. So, jurisdiction has to be on the face sheet. You have to ask for it if you want it. You don't automatically get it. The other thing is, only Article 3 judges can give you equity. Article 1 administrative law judges, like in a traffic court, they're not going to get you equity in any way. They can only recognize codes and statutes. They don't even want to hear the word beneficiary. Okay? So that's my two cents worth. The other thing was some stuff John, I guess, was talking about earlier. If you can get them to see the trust when you're the beneficiary of a credit card account or a mortgage, and you actually admit you're the surety, then you can subrogate your rights. And under the rights of subrogation, if you look up on Gibson, chapter 964 and 965, you get to stand in the shoes of the creditor, which means you stand above the bank or whoever's coming against you. Okay, so you don't go into the trustee position, but you stand inside the shoes of, but you can only make that claim as a beneficiary. And only a beneficiary can make a claim on a trust, not a trustee. So I'm going to disagree with John a little on that one. Only a beneficiary can make a claim on a trust. Now, again, when you're the beneficiary, surety, subrogee, there's where all your rights come from. Okay? That's my success experience that gets you into equity or gets equity in their courts, or, you know, like I said, go to federal court and go in through the circuit. The circuit court is where the chancery judges are most often, it's most accessible to. Okay? But you understand the point about you have to ask for it, the equitable, I call it exclusive equity, that's original jurisdiction. And if you don't, you're going to get the default general statutory jurisdiction. And if once you're behind the eight ball as a defendant, it's very tough to win. Would you agree to that? I'll yield. I don't hear anybody.
No, Cale, this is an open forum.
Okay.
And I do appreciate the your experience into the mix, and thank you for showing up on for the call tonight for the Equity Roundtable. And
right, go ahead.
No, you got some more to say. It sounds like some more bubbling out.
Even though, you know, in the sacred trust, you know, we're the beneficiaries, God's the creator. Same thing, you have to make the claim that you're a believer to get the benefits, don't you? People that don't believe in God and say they don't, they're not going to get the benefits, right? You have to make the claim that you're
the
beneficiary. Okay? Atheists don't get it, people that say they don't believe, that they're not going to get the benefits that God gives. So it's all about making that claim as the beneficiary of the trust in the public, for sure, let alone in the private. Now, let me give you one more story or example. Credit card, you know, you, for whatever reason you can't pay, they come after, they sue you, okay? So it's still, you don't argue the debt. You say, yes, of course, I was the surety. I'm not the principal. I'm not the debtor. I was the surety. I had to pay, otherwise bad things would happen to me. And therefore, because I was the surety, I have rights, surety/beneficiary. I can now subrogate my rights, stand in the shoes of the creditor of the bank, and now all of the collateral securities that the bank has made off of the credit card or the home loan actually belong to me if I make that claim. You see how that could help tremendously. Because, as John said, the beneficiary is the true owner in equity. I yield.
Just for clarity, thank you, Cale, for that. But for clarity, I would say that there is a couple of things that that I would say, not for argument's sake, but for difference sake, that I would see. And it goes like this. The flatland exists with flatland parameters. The guidelines of those that are on flatland documents are at parity with each other. So my communication with flatland outer court is only going to be and should only be if I realize what I'm sharing with you all tonight that I believe are some of my next step to my spiritual, political, societal elections, plural. I am persuaded that our only communication would be that which would abate. You say make your claim. My claim would abate their claims. I like that. And number two, I don't think that any kind of emolument or treasure or benefit from their system is actually a benefit to me. Let me go ahead and find it. I'm not sure where that's coming from, but I'm just going to do that. All right. That's 815. Can you all still hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, great. I was just saying, I was bringing Kale's attention to the question that I raised earlier with, I don't know if he was on for the whole demonstration of what the list I went through to demonstrate what is on flatland. So the difference is, in my opinion, is that there are certain trust things that are written down that I do believe can demonstrate privacy. So this is not, I'm not getting altogether, how's the word I'm looking for in here, so minded towards separation that we cut off ourself from the things that we use on a regular basis to where we're suffering. I think we can ease ourselves into our shoes, and we should be easing ourselves into our shoes. But the one thing I will say is, if your name appears on Flatland paper and you're creating a debt in Flatland, you've just basically passed sin on to the future generations. And if you're in Flatland and you have an opportunity to have relief presented in the form of anything that represents digits, your goal is to get it to zero mark, which means not to get more debt extended to you, but to forgive it. And so therefore, if somebody had to compensate you, if you had some loss or something that they was found to, they wanted to compensate you, the only thing you could receive is that which could extinguish debt, because that would be life to you. It's the credit side of life. It's the life given. It's the ability to extinguish that shows you have substance, that you have, that you're solvent. So anyway, I think it's just a little bit of a dichotomy of the argument, not necessarily to say you said anything wrong or you said it wrong, but just to show you that there was two ways of looking at the equation that was on this call tonight, and maybe to inspire more conversation, because it is such an intense thought. Or not.
I can say one thing, is I have never received a written reply to anything using the name of Jesus Christ in the Lord's Prayer. And I think because what is there to say? And with that comment, I'll yield.
Well, y'all, does anybody have anything else to say that related or unrelated to the subject they'd like to present to the House of Prayer? We have looked at the equation for the past number of years here together. We have these calls that have been up on myhouseshallbecalled.com. Obviously for community, we have. I'd like to let you know that you can go there and listen to the past calls, and I'll pray about whether or not this makes it up there. Anybody else got anything to add to the call tonight? It looks like that's the end of a call tonight. I thought it might be a short call when I set this call up. So I'd like to wish everybody a beautiful good evening, a wonderful evening here, and to go back in and study these things and see if there's anything that needs to be applied in our lives. We've got one crack at it this go around. Let's get it right this time. I don't believe in reincarnation. I didn't believe in my past three lives either. That's actually not my joke. That belongs to Randy John, for those of you who know him. But anyway, love and peace to you all. And we will see you in 2 weeks, you all. We'll have another call in 2 weeks. Can't make any promises. You're welcome. can't make any promises about the subject matter, because this is the only thing I think that we need to do is find true relief from all the strongholds that we've been experiencing and get some exit plans going. Anyway, peace with you all.